Oh, no.
Liz.
Liz, right.
But did you know Liz or?
Just having heard about it from her, from people. That's right. Well, back to 1940 in your new apartment.
Yeah, we were 137 Elmwood Avenue.
So that area, were there other lesbians that you knew living in that area then?
Down at the corner, there was one of the gals who we met through two of the boys that I told you we went to the dance in formal gowns with.
Oh.
Roy and Andy. They knew this gal, Evelyn, down at the corner, and she used to have some Sunday afternoon parties, which started out about 4 o'clock and ended up whenever you went home.
Ah, Sunday afternoon parties.
Mm-hmm.
What were they like? What would people do there?
Drink, dance, talk, play cards, you know, and did whatever you wanted to.
Uh-huh. And so it was...
That's how I first began knowing some of the boys.
Is that Evelyn?
Mm-hmm.
She would have... So a typical party, you'd be drinking, did people pay to go to Evelyn's parties?
No, but you generally bought what you drank.
You bought what you drank.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And was there food?
Yeah, Evelyn provided that.
She provided.
But then sometimes we used to bring down things.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't think it's fair that she, you know, would have the whole thing. So we'd take down a casserole or a cake or something like that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then people would play cards. And what kind of dancing was popular?
The boys danced and the girls danced.
You don't remember what kind?
Oh, foxtrot, waltzes, whatever. We used to do some jive,
slang,
I mean, that sort of thing. Whatever was going at that point.
Okay, so then you'd go there Sunday afternoon sometimes, and sometimes at night, Saturday nights, you'd go out to the bar?
Uh-huh.
What else kind of things would people do together?
Oh, we used to go to shows, movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get into classical concerts and plays, New York plays and that, until I began going with Charlotte. And as I said, she was a social worker in psychiatry, and she took a part of her master's and went down to the Psychiatric Institute for 3 months down in New York City, so I used to fly down once a month for the weekend. I'd fly out of here on a Friday night and fly back on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always get tickets for plays, and I saw the original Oklahoma Pajama Game, all those plays that were popular in that area that were at the Court Street Theater or any of the theaters in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Did you used to go on picnics or things like that?
Yes.
What kind of picnics?
Swimming. We'd go over to the quarry and go swimming.
Uh-huh. In the 40s?
Yeah. In fact, I have some pictures I looked at just the other day. Harriet and my first car was a 1927 Chevy. That the fenders didn't meet at the running board. The ornament at the front end of the car was more expensive than the car. An arrow across the top was a coach. That was no radio, and we used to have at least one flat tire a day.
Where'd you get this car?
We bought it secondhand from some auto dealer, and it was very unique. We used to have it down to a system, because while she took off the spare, I would jack up the car and take off the flat and put it on the back. Only sometimes we had two flat tires in one day, and then you had to fix the one that you had on the back, because we didn't have any money for new tires.
Uh-huh.
But we used to have some wonderful times with that little car.
What'd you do?
Picnics, swimming,
mm-hmm.
State parks. One time, Harriet and I we got real adventurous and rented a cabin down at Allegheny for the weekend, and it poured all weekend. And it had two bedrooms and a great big living room and a kitchen and a wood-burning fireplace. And the place, it was such a cold weekend that we built this huge fire in the fireplace and moved to bed in front of the fireplace so we'd stay warm that night. Oh, we used to do some crazy things.
A lot of times just the two of you alone? Or
sometimes the two of us alone, sometimes with people.
Sometimes other couples?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We could be happy alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, to get back, when you all, now this is always more difficult for me to ask than people answer, but we're also interested in lovemaking. When you first made love, was oral sex a thing that people did at that time?
Not generally.
Not generally.
No.
That comes in later?
That comes in later.
When do you think it comes in?
One of my extra affairs with a gal who to this day calls me up. As a matter of fact, I'm taking her to the airport on Sunday morning because she's going to Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Once a year, he calls me up for a period of 2 or 3 weeks and gets discouraged when I don't go out with him. And only this time, she caught me at an odd moment, and we went to the Hofbräu for dinner a week ago Friday. and I shouldn't still say I'm not interested, but she is.
Oh, God.
She would like to come and live with me. She would like to come and live with me, and that's the last person in the world I would ever have live with me.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, you learned about oral sex through her?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Was this the 50s? 60s?
60s.
Ah, so it was as late as the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Did people talk about these things then?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that same Butch crowd, one of them, used to go, now I don't know where in Lexington this was, because I was not that interested to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of Ruth Rebell's, a gal by the name of Georgie, mm-hmm. that was her nickname obviously, wanted me to go to this Daisy Chain Gang on Lexington Avenue, and I was not interested. I have never been at all intrigued by multiple sex or sex orgies or groups of people having sex at the same time, because to me that is not love. It is reducing sex to an animal level, and I consider myself above an animal. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love dogs. But I don't think I'm an animal. And to me, sex should be intimate between two people with love involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was this in the 40s that there were these daisy chains on Lexington Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Because that was with the gang that used to go to Butch Night on Friday nights.
Uh-huh.
40s and early 50s.
40s and early 50s. And this was all women?
I don't know, because I never asked. Heard. I was not interested in daisy chains.
At all, huh?
So I asked no questions. I just said thanks, but no thanks.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go for that type of thing.
I guess I didn't either, because I don't know about these things even today. But
well, I don't know if they exist today. I have the vaguest idea.
Right. Well, so the main kind of lovemaking people would do in the 40s was... What did they call it? Tribadism? What were the terms that people called it, do you know?
We didn't call it any term that I remember.
Just made love.
Right.
Oh, okay. Was it pretty equal?
Generally.
As to who did what?
Generally. Other than one girl I went with, and that was unequal. It was just, I made love to her, period, and that was it.
Uh-huh. But with your other relationships, it was pretty equal?
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you know if that was common at the time?
As far as I know.
Because our impression is that, and you can see if you think this is correct, that a lot of times in the more butch-femme relationships, that mainly the butch made love to the femmes. Do you think that's correct, or you don't know?
Not as far as the gang I knew at that time. As far as I knew with the kids, it was equal.
It was equal.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. But of course, that was not discussed too very much at that point in the 40s and 50s.
It was quiet.
Huh. It would be, I would say, I would think it would be much more suggested in this more modern day and age of freedom of information.
Hmm. Did people ever discuss problems with sex or anything like that you can remember? Or was it just quiet?
They would discuss problems when they weren't having sex, if one or the other was not willing. And that I had some people come to me and ask me what to do.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. A lot of people have told us that in long-term relationships, and you've had a lot of them, mm-hmm. 8 years, 10 years, 13 mm-hmm. years, that after 3 or 4 years, that usually sex is not important. Is that your experience too or not?
Well, with Harry and I, it was about 7 years.
7 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time. From the people we've talked to.
Mm-hmm. And with Charlotte, it was about 11 years.
So usually your relationships broke up after the sex was not so important anymore, not so central?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it less heartbreaking?
No, no.
Wait, did you suffer a lot when your relationship with Harriet broke up?
No, that one I didn't, because it was at that point I was going out.
It was you who was going out.
Mm-hmm. And she was going out, too.
So it didn't matter.
No.
Well, what do you think about that? Why do you think sex stops in a relationship?
Well, I would imagine, I presume from what I've heard, married couple, it's the same thing. It gets to be old hat. Monotony sets in.
Monotony. You think it's monotony?
I would imagine so.
Huh. It was, yeah. I mean, it's a question that we have gotten no answers for, but that's generally what people say is monotony. Do you think that that means that there's no chance that lesbian relationships can continue for a long time?
I don't know the answer to that. I could see where they could and I can see where they couldn't.
Would you see them as continuing without without sex then, if they continued for a long time?
Well, this 30-year-old one that I talked about, that the gal used to go out and hasn't gone out now in about 10, 11 years, there I would say one is 72 and the other 68 with heart trouble. I doubt if they're having sex.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very close.
Mm-hmm. Do you think sex isn't important in a lesbian relationship?
I would say it depends on the age and how much sex drive they have.
Oh, okay. So why don't you tell me what you think about that? What, how old do you have to be? You think if you're old and you don't have much sex drive, it's not important?
Well, I don't know. I still enjoy sex.
You still enjoy sex?
Yes, very much so.
So you would like sex as part of a relationship?
Yeah. I think it's part of a relationship. It's a closeness.
Can you imagine keeping up a relationship that no longer has sex as part of it?
Yes. It could be.
It could be.
Depending upon, again, you're going back to what drives they have.
Mm-hmm.
Either part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm trying to, we're trying to think about, do you think sex is as important in a lesbian relationship as it is with heterosexual people?
Yes.
You do?
I think sometimes more so.
Why?
Because of the fact that they are defying convention per se, or a straight society, or a straight community.
Mm-hmm.
They might need that closeness to make it more abiding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for you and Harriet, you had a close sexual relation for 7 years, and then mm-hmm. it began to be over, and the two, did each of you start going out, or?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it ended, kind
mm-hmm.
of. What happened? Did one of you just say, well, I think I want to see somebody else?
No, because she was working days and I was working nights, and this other gal and I used to go home and her mother would fix us a great big breakfast and we would go to bed because we had worked all night.
Uh-huh.
And we had to sleep. And I would get up in time to go home when Harry came home from work.
That's how it ended.
Right.
So then what happened? Did you one day tell Harriet that, look, this is what's happening?
No,
or
she knew what was happening because we were all in the same crowd.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And her girlfriend got rather objection to, she took exception to some of the things, and Harriet took exception, but Harriet was going out at that same time. In fact, one of the gals that I was going with at that time, different than Ruth, said, you think Harriet would be, this was before I went, do you think Harriet would be faithful? And I said, yes. She said, she'd just go to bed with anybody. I said, I don't believe it. She said, I'll bet you $5 I can go to bed with her. I said, I bet you can't. I walked home, they were in bed. Harriet's version is that she came in the door, picked her up, threw her in the bed, and started making love to her. Now, I know Harriet, and that would not be, Harriet would not have sex with anybody. She didn't want to because she was Irish and a fighter and a temper. And at that point, that's when I started going out.
Isn't that something? Well, I'd be interested in that. Did you two have a commitment to monogamy when you got started? Did you talk about it?
Yeah. You know, we mentioned it, that we wouldn't like the other to have sex with anybody else at this point.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then did either of you break it to your knowledge before the end of the relationship? Like, did you sometimes, every now and then,
get... Well, she would accuse me.
She would accuse you.
Mm-hmm. She was my girl.
And you were, and she was right?
Oh, she was right. But I could say the same to her. Although we did part friends. I mean, I gave her all the furniture for the car, and the car wasn't worth much at that point.
And also, you still see one another.
Oh, yes, we have become very good friends. We write letters back and forth. She comes east, she stays with me. I go west, I stay with her. I've had various of my girlfriends stay with me to go out there.
Well, you know why I'm asking these questions is a lot of images, first of all, of people in 1940, and particularly women, that they didn't have active sex life. So it's interesting for us to establish in writing a history that mm-hmm. women had active sex life. So
very active.
Can you remember how long you had been going with Harriet the first time you had an affair on the side?
We'd been going together about 7 years.
That was the first time. Yeah. So you've been together 7 years. And up until that time, you were totally monogamous.
Totally.
Oh, that's a long time to be totally mm-hmm. monogamous. Okay. And so then on the side, you have the affair, and you just met some, this was the woman who worked nights with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And you think the same for Harriet, that she probably was pretty monogamous for mm-hmm. 7 years. And then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then finally you ended amiably. Well, can you think of anything about the 1940s that we should know about that,
No, I think I pretty well covered it.
I know another question I wanted to ask you. Did you and Harriet celebrate any rituals together? Like, was Christmas important
mm-hmm,
for you?
Because it was the 24th of December that we started going together. That was the first time we went to bed. And every year, invariably, no matter who I'm with, I always have called it Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lived together, I always used to give roses on that day.
Roses? And red roses?
Yeah, I thought it was her. It was sentimentalist at heart. And I thought, to this day, I always call it Christmas Eve. I wouldn't think of Christmas Eve without it. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, I call it long distance. I always have.
Huh. What other holidays were important?
With Harriet and I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the usual, Christmas, Easter. I can remember 1 year when I wasn't working, I was laid off and when we were first going together, and she used to send money home to her family because they needed it in Toronto, and she didn't earn that much. And the only thing she could afford this one Easter, we each got a new hat. Because it wasn't Easter to her Irish little mind unless you had a new piece of clothing on. She was very superstitious. So each had one hat. I had one too. And we had a good relationship. We're still, as I said, very, very close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the other night when she was so upset, I was the first person she called long distance to tell me all about it. She'd had a fight with her friend because her sister had been visiting, and her sister can be quite a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend objected because it's half her home, and she had paid half of this real beautiful double-wide mobile home, and she objects to Myrtle coming in and dictating, which I don't blame Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary in California.
This is kind of changing a little bit, but Harriet, like when you think about Harriet, the fact that she was with you and then she got married and she married this nice guy, they were together for a while, and now she's back with a woman. Do you think that she's a lesbian?
I think she is, wants it both ways.
She wants it both.
I don't believe in bisexualism per se. Now, I may be wrong, but I always thought that's kind of a put on.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, it gives you the right to do whatever you want when you want to, however you want it. I think Harriet just wants the best of both worlds.
Say some more about that.
Well, Harriet was very, very attractive gal, and she had a fantastic personality. And she could charm either gay girls, gay boys, or straight men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason she went with Bob, supposedly, quoting her, is because I had left her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't true. It was sort of a mutual thing at the same time, which she would never admit, and to this day won't admit, because Harriet's always right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I let her be right, rather than I make a big fuss over something that happened 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm. How long was she and Bob married?
Let's see. They married in 47, 48. And he died, 17 years ago. Because that's how long she and Mary had been together. Because after Bob died, that's when Mary sold the house to Seal, the gal I was with, and moved to the coast to be with Harriet. It's a little over 17 years.
Hmm. So you don't think she's bisexual, but...
Do you think there is such a thing as a person that's bisexual?
I don't know. It's very... I just don't know.
Do you think it's possible to enjoy men as much as you would enjoy women?
I've heard some people who say that it's possible.
I've heard that too.
Right, but you don't believe it.
I don't know. I've always figured either you are gay or you are straight. I don't quite see a medium point in that.
So you think, in your judgment of Harriet, is that she was gay, but that she wanted the security.
She wanted the best of both worlds.
So she got what she could out of him.
Because even when she was married to Bob and out of the coast, she had a girlfriend.
Is that right?
Well, she would not admit it to me. But one Sunday morning, this girlfriend, who was very jealous of me,
mm-hmm.
I think this was the first or second time I'd ever been out there, was insulting me left or right till Bob got so furious that he said to Harriet, "I don't care, the next time she comes here and says anything about Dee, I'm throwing her out on her ear." Mm-hmm. Oh, he was furious. Mm-hmm. And Harriet was trying to make light of the whole thing, and oh, she didn't mean this, blah, 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 blah. And of course, I wasn't going to cause an argument because I could see the setup, and I could see that when the other gal was married, and when her husband was working and Bob was working, and Harriet and she would get together during the day, this I could see. I mean, after all, I've seen enough of gay life to sense situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one other question about the 40s and stuff. When you all, did you just go out on the weekends, that during the week you were working?
During the week we pretty much stayed home. I mean, there might be occasional dinner party, but as a rule, during the week we stayed
home. And then on the weekends, yeah. Or if you would go. And, let's see, was there anything else that we did?
Strangely enough, Harriet wanted to get her beauty license back, and so I was her guinea pig, and she took 1,000 hours of school, and we bought a beauty shop on Main and Greenfield.
Main, right around here then?
Well, right across the street from
Emma's.
Emma,
right.
But that used to be a building that had, you went in the side entrance down in the basement, and it had all stucco walls, and it had a wood-burning fireplace in it. And it had wicker furniture, knotty pine furniture, and then the beauty shop was at the one end. And I used to, until we could afford it, I was the cleaning lady and the bookkeeper and the banker. And when we could afford it, because we had one girl working at that point, because we bought from this other girl and had it, when we could afford it, we had the cleaning lady, and I was just a bookkeeper and a banker. And then that's when Harriet got married, so that's when we sold.
Mm-hmm. So, but together you had helped set her up. You were also working another job at
mm-hmm.
the time, too,
mm-hmm.
and also doing this.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to school, too.
And going to school, too. Did Harriet like to go to school?
No.
But she didn't mind you being out going to school?
No.
And
no, and she would stay home at that point.
Huh.
In fact, she was the one that encouraged me, and she takes all the credit for my college and my promotion, because she pushed me, quote unquote. She pushed me into it.
Hmm. Well, as you look back at the 40s, is there anything else that stands out in your memory as something that was particularly good or something that was...
Yeah, we used to have a lot of fun. The gals had a lot of fun as a group in those times. In picnics, in parties, in getting together. Then we had, I had a male chihuahua and she had a female. And one Labor Day weekend, Bambi, the female, of course, gave birth to puppies. Well, it was on a Friday night, Labor Day on a Monday, and we had the kids over because we weren't going to leave Bambi alone because we knew it was near her time. And about 1 o'clock, and we'd been sitting around. In fact, Ruth Lavelle was there, one of the gals that was there at that point. And Bambi started rooting because I had built a box, you know,
mm-hmm.
made it all ready for the babies and that. And I built a bed, knee long, that high with the up. And Bambi started rooting, so Ruth knew it was her time. And so the kids all went home, and we did dishes, and then Bambi gave birth to two puppies. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, we were just sitting down for breakfast, and Bambi began rooting again. And I said, "Bambi, no," because we had been up, worked the night before on Thursday night. We was up all day Friday. Friday night we had company. And Bambi did about 7 o'clock have a breech birth, mm-hmm. but I brought it through her. I delivered him, Harriet, you know, she tied the cord and I'd cut it and so on and so forth. And then the vet came up and checked out the puppies. Well, Harriet and Bob took the puppies down to Allegheny with them, but we had company. Everybody would want to see what a chihuahua looked like. All that Saturday, all that Sunday, and all that Well, we got to bed Sunday night, about midnight.
You mean you didn't go to sleep the entire weekend? What were you all doing?
Company. Everybody wanted to see the puppies.
But all night long?
Yes.
So people would be dancing and drinking?
No. Just they'd have a beer or a cup of coffee and sit and talk. Well, and then the next crowd would come in. But believe me, we collapsed that Sunday night. So I had Cheat with me, and Harriet had the Bambi and puppies with her because she slept in the front bed, and there was just a door right between. But we all slept in this first bedroom, but over the puppies, the puppies got used to it and they got a little older, and we slept that way for a couple of weeks.
Hmm. What, did you stay at 123 on what avenue the whole time you were there?
137.
137, yeah. The whole time.
Mm-hmm. Before she got married.
Huh. And what else was I going to ask you? Yeah, you had two bedrooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a living room and a dining room?
Mm-hmm. A living room, no dining room. Living room and a great big kitchen.
And that's where people would eat when you came
in? And a back porch.
And a back porch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a nice apartment for $25 a week.
What did people drink when they drank? Beer? Anything else?
Or wine.
Beer or wine. People weren't hard liquor drinkers.
No.
Was that because they were women or that because it was expensive?
Probably because it was during the recession and because it was expensive, and that was the beginning of the war years where you didn't earn too much.
Right.
And the kids that had apartments, they'd rent to pay, like we did.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that impressed Walter is never, ever did he come up in the first of the month and not have the money there.
Right. Let's see. How come Harriet was not living with her family?
Because they lived in Toronto.
And what brought her here?
Economic conditions, because she came over here during the Depression in 1929.
She came here in the Depression?
In order to get a job.
Was she older than her then?
Yeah.
She was.
Mm-hmm. She's 73.
How old are you now?
65.
65. So that means you were born in
16. She was born in 1908.
So in 1929, she was
14,
and she came to get a job. So she was an independent woman.
Mm-hmm. And she helped support her family, her mother and father, all for years. And Myrtle, the sister, but one is the oddball troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time that Ralph Martin's was picketed?
No. When was that?
Well, somebody told us it was picketed in the 40s sometime.
Well, then it possibly was before we went down there, because I never remember it being picketed. Who picketed it?
A woman who was thrown out by Martin's, by Ralph Martin himself. That doesn't strike me.
Do you remember her name?
Nope. I could.
Of course, when they got rebunctious, Ralph, if they got troublesome and fighting, Ralph would throw them out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't let any foolishness go on, or any fights, fisticuffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just trying to pick you. My next time, I thought we would finish today because it's long and whatever, and I also have to go to work this afternoon. But I'm just trying to, and next time we can talk about the 50s a little bit.
Okay.
But I was just trying to think if there's anything more on the 40s that you think would be interesting or fun or...
No, I think I pretty much said it. We used to go swimming, we'd have picnics, we'd have house parties. And occasionally, once in a while, we'd not. Now, down to Eddie's, we used to go almost every Saturday night. Down to Ralph's, when Eddie, I don't remember why we left Eddie's. I really don't remember that. I think it just sort of drifted away. It got monotonous. Then when we started going to Ralph's, it wasn't a question of each and every Saturday night, or it wasn't a question of once a week or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. It was several times a month. Mm-hmm. Or something mm-hmm. like that. Well, and you said you also went to Pine's and Brogan's, mm-hmm. right?
But rarely.
Rarely.
Mm-hmm.
Any other places in the 40s that you remember?
Not that I can think of.
What about Eddie Ryan's Niagara Hotel?
I was never in there.
You were never in there?
Mm-hmm.
What about...
The boys went to Eddie Ryan's Niagara Hotel much more than girls.
Huh. Did you ever go to a place called Federal Gardens?
Once or twice.
But not much?
No.
What about the Tudor Arms?
No.
Never. Okay. I should have reviewed my list.
of...
Did you ever in the 30s hear of a place in the late 30s called the Hillside Inn?
No.
It was way out on Seneca Street, but that was in 38-39, and so it seems like you... Right. Yeah. Did you ever hear people talk about Galantes?
I heard them talk about it, but I had never there.
It was closed probably before you even...
Because Ruth, the one that I had a mad crush on when I was a kid, she had talked about Galantes. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Did she continue in the gay life?
Oh, yes.
She did. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we should call it quits for today. I think we almost finished this side of the tape anyway. Do you remember any black lesbians at the...
Uh-huh.
You do?
Uh-huh.
In the 40s?
Yeah.
You do? Were they at the bars or were they in...
Yes, and one of the gals who I see occasionally, on a friendship basis only, is still very gay and... She was pretty beautiful.